Hi, and thanks for listening to Advocate Radio. I'm Christina Hughes Babb. I'm here with editor Emily Toman and our web editor, Christy Robinson. And this is the September 13th podcast. Our guest today, well, I'm not going to tell you yet who he is. I'm gonna have him say hello to you and let you guess who he is.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to the State Fair of Texas.
That's right. Our guest today is Big Tex. His real name is Bill Bragg, and he's here today to tell us a little bit of how he wound up being the voice that you hear every year when you walk into the Texas State Fair. So, Bill, why don't you give us a little history about how you wound up being the voice of Big Tex?
Absolutely. Well, it's the best job in town, at the best show in town. You know, everyone who comes to the fair might not eat a corny dog or might not ride the Ferris wheel, but everybody is going to hear Big Tex talk. And it's my privilege to have that opportunity to talk on his behalf. And the man who did it before me was there for 35 years, and I'm out to set a new record. But I started when he passed away. They had a big contest, and over 500 people from all across America and Canada auditioned for the part, and 499 of them were bad.
But you weren't.
I was not. And I've been doing it ever since. I have been doing it 3 or 4 years on the telephone and all the other recordings. I also do the announcements for the cooking show and many of the shows on the Midway. And it's my voice you'll hear, too, when you call the main number of the State Fair of Texas, which, by the way, is available on the website. And it's easy to remember, BigTex.com.
So at what point in your life did you realize that you had a voice like that, that could be recognized by so many people?
Well, when I was a kid, we lived out in Vickery, remember Vickery? Mm-hmm. And Dad had a big farm, and on the other side of the fence was a lady who trained horses. Mm-hmm. And I used to watch her training her horses, and I found out later she was a voice teacher. And she used to tell my dad, that kid has the darndest voice I've ever heard in my life. You ought to do something with it. And I never thought much about it until I grew up and got my first job when I was 17 years old. And I started talking on the radio, a little radio station out in Grand Prairie, KPCN. Another batch from the Cotton Patch will be KPCN. And it was owned by a man who owned KPCN, a newspaper over in this area, the Park Cities News.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the PCN of KPCN came from, Park Cities News.
Oh, my gosh. So I think some people may think that Big Tex, when they hear him, is a recording. Are you sitting there, or is it live?
That is the nicest thing anyone can say to me, is to come up and say, Bill, I thought it was recorded, because that means it sounds perfect, I guess. Uh-huh. But everything that Tex says is performed live by me 24 days.
So do you ever mess with people like, hey, you in the yellow shirt, I see you picking your nose?
Or... Oh, it would be fun to do that, but it's really impossible. You know, people will come up and say, can you say happy birthday, or can you say happy anniversary? And we'd love to do it, but the problem is every day is somebody's birthday or anniversary. Uh-huh. And the crowds that we have means
so
that Tex
people
would never have a chance to even say howdy if he was saying happy birthday or happy anniversary or welcome to the state fair to an out-of-towner, because we have people from all over the world and hundreds and thousands of birthdays and anniversaries every day of the 24-day run. So it's not possible to do that. So Big Tex talks to everybody.
And whenever I went to the state fair every year as a kid growing up, Big Tex would talk, and I'd look up at Big Tex. And as a kid, I assumed that whoever was voicing Big Tex sat up in his head. Where are you located whenever you're talking?
Well, believe it or not, it is possible to go up inside. I have never done it, mm-hmm. but because it's very hot up there, and it's close quarters. But there are 3,000 watts of power at my disposal to make Big Tex heard all over the 265 acres of the state fair. But I'm located directly in front of Big Tex in the middle of the Chevrolet truck area. And there's a little wooden cabin there that looks like a lake cabin, and I'm inside there, and that's where I do it. It's something that we don't hide, mm-hmm. but we don't publicize either.
Not exactly like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz, but kind of.
And a lot of people have found me, and every year the same people will come by and see me, and always I'll get a couple of hundred of newbies, and they'll join. So every hour of every day, there's someone standing around watching me perform, because there's a window there where I can see Tex and see him moving around, and where I can hear myself. I have to hear myself so I can tune up and make sure that I'm sounding good for everyone. But I've been told it's heard all over the 260-plus acres of the state fair.
Wow. Now, do you get to enjoy the fair at all? Do you get time off? Are you on the whole time the fair is open?
It's 30 on and 30 off. And usually the 30 off is taken up with interviews, doing other things. The media will come out. And it's really been a blessing in disguise for me because I've been on Oprah. I've been on The View. I've been on Ellen. I've been on Leno. I've been on The Today Show, Good Morning CBS. I've been on the Travel Channel, the Cooking Channel. You name it, I've been there.
Now, remind us when you became the voice of Big Tex again. What year was that?
This will be year number 9 for me. It was Tex's 50th birthday.
Oh, neat.
And it's 2002.
Okay.
And Tex turned 50, and that was my first year. And I've been doing it ever since, and I'm going to be doing it for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
Because I'm just having too much fun.
It sounds fun. Now, what do you do the rest of the year round?
Well, I just recently retired from Hewlett-Packard, which bought EDS. And I was the chief broadcast engineer for the Hewlett-Packard Global Broadcast Television Network. And we provided training, news, and information to some 300-plus thousand employees across the nation and around the world. And then I also do lots of different voices, too. I'm a voice-over talent, so you will hear me from time to time doing commercials for other products, and you say, I've heard that voice somewhere, but I can't remember where, because I do a lot of voices, but I'm sure there's words and sounds that do creep through and remind you of Big Tech.
So if you were going to say, thanks for listening to Advocate Radio, how would you say that?
Thanks for listening to Advocate Radio. It's here every day, and it's just for you right here on your favorite computer.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to make you say that one more time at the end.
You want to tell us more about yesterdayusa.com?
Yesterdayusa is an outgrowth of the National Museum of Communications, both of which I founded. Mm-hmm. I founded the Communications Museum because, you know, the most important thing that we do as human beings is communicate one with another. And it's very important to understand about broadcasting. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you buy a can of food, it tells you how much water, how much salt, how much this, how much that. You need to know that because you're putting that into your body. But when you turn on a radio or a television to put information into your mind, there's nothing to tell you that is somebody's opinion or that is that the truth? Is that someone's opinion? What is that? Is it fact? Is it fiction? So I founded the museum to tell people how broadcasting and communications works, because the most important thing we do as humans is communicate one with another. And in a time when there's so many different languages all across and around the world, what's the thing that people say the most after an argument or a misunderstanding? Sorry, I didn't understand what you said. I didn't understand what you meant. So how can this happen in this world of technology and communications and languages? How is it that we can't understand one another? It's because we don't know and understand how broadcasting works and how communications works. So that was my idea for founding the museum. And then when people started coming from all over this area to see the museum, I thought, wouldn't it be nice to be able to take the museum to people in faraway places who would never have the opportunity? So that's when I founded Yesterday USA, and you can find it on any website, any computer, yesterdayusa.com, and we started playing old-time radio shows, and I started it in my living room 27 years ago with a TV tray and one of the kitchen chairs, and it has grown and grown and grown, and we now have 50 on-air volunteers, which include people like Ronnie Millsap, country music superstar, Milt Larson, who owns the Magic Castle in Hollywood, Frank Brzee, the voice of Little Beaver from Old Time Radio's Red Rider, a school teacher, a medical doctor, a lawyer. I wanted professionals. I wanted non-professionals. I wanted regular people. And we play Old Time Radio shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from the largest collection in the world of Old Time Radio shows. And then we go live every night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 9:30 Dallas time, and we're going to be taking roll, and anyone who's tardy is going to be punished. So tune in. We have live interviews, and I've interviewed many people who have now passed away, and all of the legends. I guess I've interviewed close to 500 people: James Arnaz, Buddy Epson, Pat Boone, you name it. We've had them on live.
Wow.
And it's really been a blessing for me and a blessing for the listeners, because I found out one important lesson a long time ago: the more you give, the more you get. And so that's my policy. And I always position myself to stand underneath the spout where the good things flow out. And having a positive attitude and believing that you can do, I just can't believe the good Lord above gave me a brain capable of thinking up stuff I can't do. So anytime I think up something that would be neat, I go out and do it. And I do not rain on my own parade, because the moment you say I'm too tired, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too stupid, I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated, the moment you do that, you've rained on your own parade. You've canceled your own party. So don't cancel your own party. If you can think about it, why would you be able to think about something you can't do? It just doesn't make sense.
That's great advice, Bill. One last thing I'd like to touch on: your outfit. Obviously, we're on Advocate Radio. People can't see you, but you're dressed in cowboy attire, sort of.
Absolutely.
Do you always dress this way, or is this, can we expect to see you in a cowboy hat and a cowboy shirt if you're walking around?
Absolutely. And the biggest belt buckle in Texas.
That is a very large belt buckle.
That's huge.
It's a set on a base of 52 Jefferson nickels.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And I wanted the biggest belt in Texas, because let's face it.
He has the biggest belt in Texas.
The best dressed guy at the state fair is who?
Big Tex.
Big Tex. And if I'm going to be his voice, then I need to look spiffy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try to do. And I have a different shirt for every day. And I wore one of them today. And I apologize for being a little bit late, but I got up this morning and I had to polish all my sequins.
Good. And you're not quite as tall as Big Tex, but you are pretty tall. How tall are you?
6'5", barefooted. And when you add the boots to that, it looks like about 6'6", or 6'7", especially with the hat.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you to sign off for us.
All right. This is Big Tex talking to you, reminding you that he's going to be a-looking for you every day at the State Fair. 24 big days starting the 24th day of September, right here in Dallas, Texas.